Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Good morning. How you guys doing? So we've got a little message for you guys this morning, and I believe it is crucial that you hear God in it. You don't have to hear every word I say. You don't have to hear every little thing that's spoken from here, from the pulpit, but you got to hear it from the Lord. What is God saying to you? And one of the things that I was praying for specifically for this service is that I felt like somebody in here needs to hear that God loves you. And I really mean he loves you. There may be people in your life, there may be somebody in your life that you want so desperately to love you, and you're not getting that love from that person. I'm going to ask you right now to stop having a vertical, or stop having a horizontal, mindset. Start having a vertical mindset, and start realizing that God loves you. In John 3:16, we don't have sports, right? So let me remind you of what that verse says. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you so much that he gave his son to live on earth, to take all of our sins, past and present, and to die, to take the rap for us. Right? I mean, that's kind of a big deal. I have kids. How many of you guys have kids? You want them to be safe. You want them to be protected. Could you imagine offering up your kids for everyone else in the world? I can't imagine it, but that's what God did for us. And so I just want to let you know that he loves you. So this morning, the message is ADSD. It's kind of a part two. The first part was Wednesday night, if you want to watch that. But it's not like a TV series where if you miss the first episode, you're lost, okay? So they kind of stand alone. So if you want to go back and watch that, if you missed it, please do online. But attention deficit spiritual disorder. I think that when I look around culturally, I think if there's one issue that we have culturally, it's that we are distracted. We are not paying attention to the things that we need to pay attention to. I was in lieu of, I don't know if it was 4th of July that's coming up, Independence Day is what we call it, coming up this week, which is exciting. Fireworks, finally. Maybe everyone will just get rid of all their fireworks on one day. That'd be great. So if you have illegals, just do it on 4th of July, right? All right, let's just be done with it. Just do them all. Try not to get caught, but if you do, you do. You know what I mean? It's a big deal. But anyway. In lieu of that, I was reading the Declaration of Independence, and it was interesting because our forefathers, they wrote the Declaration of Independence as a statement against tyranny. It was a statement against being controlled by the government, and it was a statement of freedom. Now, whether we agree with everything that's written, I think we all can say that we agree with freedom. Freedom is a good thing, right? And our country was based on that. And it's ironic that they decided to name our country the United States of America. Right? It's ironic because when I turn on the news, I don't see that. You know what I see? I see a picture of the United States, and I see all the states with different colors. It used to be that they were colored based on which political view people had in those states. Now, the states are colored based on who has coronavirus and who's listening and who's not. It's based on who's wearing masks and who's not. There are people that are being controlled, I believe, by the enemy that are trying to divide us. Abraham Lincoln said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Those are great words, Abraham Lincoln. Where did you get those words? I think he got those words from another guy that I know really well. His name is Jesus. Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, I am not naive this morning in believing that the entire United States is going to be unified by November or by December or by January. I'm not thinking that's going to happen. But I do believe that God is calling the church to stand up and be unified. Because if there's anything that we should be focused on right now, it's Him. And if we focus on God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God, if we focus on the God of Jesus Christ, together we will be unified. But we are not focused on that. We are focused on whatever they want us to be focused on. I'm going to come back. I'm going to finish this message. Before I do, we're going to take a little reprieve. I can't talk the whole time because it would get intense, too intense for me. But I shot this video with my friend Jonathan Rizzo, whose his dad is Pastor Hector, and he's a good dude. And he has a doctorate level education in educational psychology, and he deals with kids that have attention disorders. And matter of fact, it's quite a problem in our society. How many of you guys have kids with attention disorders? Right? Maybe you think they do. You're like, oh gosh, they never pay attention. I wanted to sit down and ask him and talk to him about attention and talk to him about the importance of where we put our attention. And I wanted to talk to him about how we can focus better on what we need to focus on. So I'm going to show you guys that. Then I'm going to come back with a scripture that I believe ties it all together. Does that sound good? All right, let me pray this before we start. Father, I pray that you would enlighten us, God. I pray that you would show us what you want to show us, Lord. Let our opinions be put aside for a moment and let us focus on what you have for us because you are here and you are with us. And so, Father, I pray that you'd speak to us through this message. I pray that you would show us what you want to show us, and I pray that we would obey, we would listen, and we would more than anything make a commitment today, after today, to just spend quality time with you, to acknowledge you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, John, so we're back, and you said something that I want to spend a little bit of time on.
Uh-huh.
You talked about the ability to control your emotions.
Yeah.
And I think most people would probably not believe that you can control your emotions.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I was one of those people before. I was. And mm-hmm. I work with tons of people that are still like that. You know all it takes?
Hmm.
All I got to do is just make them aware, baby.
Hmm.
And that's it.
So how do you do it? How do you control your emotions? How can I, if I am prone to anger, for example... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have an easily triggered anger response,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A temper that's easily triggered. But once it is triggered, it's Ooh. Very hard.
Yeah, I've seen that guy.
To pull back.
I've seen that guy.
I go from like 0 to 100, and then people. I've are seen thrown, that thrown guy. Off. But how do I stop that from happening? How do I stop my temper?
You know, the big thing is being aware of what feelings and emotions are.
Hmm.
All they are is they're based on what you think that activates certain parts of your body, and that's what feelings are. And the parts of your systems that are integrated with feelings are your self-regulation systems, like blood pressure. Like that is integrated with your feelings and body sensations, right? Your heart rate, your breathing rate, all of those are integrated into your emotions and your feelings.
So there's the physical side of it. If mm-hmm. I'm hammering a nail, right, okay. and I hit my thumb, I want to say a cuss word, right?
Ouch, right?
And I get really angry. Okay. There's right. an anger response. To me, that's natural.
I like that.
It's expected.
Mm-hmm.
But why does it happen when my wife says something I don't like or my kids aren't listening or...
So you brought up, like, this is great, that leads me into... This is the crazy thing that people don't know about emotions. It is completely physical, right? It's triggered by things that are real right in front of you or by things that are unreal in your mind.
Mm.
It's triggered just as much.
Perception.
Exactly. Well, I can activate something. What's your favorite thing to eat right now?
My favorite thing
What's
to eat?
What's your favorite thing to eat? Right. What's your favorite thing to eat?
Like bad food?
Yeah. The worst thing you can eat, dude.
I love ice cream, but it always makes me sick.
Think about actually eating that ice cream.
Yeah.
Think about actually eating it. Mm-hmm. What happens? I'm thinking about pizza right now.
Yeah, it makes me happy.
Right?
Sure, yeah.
My actual mouth starts salivating. Mm-hmm. That's a scientific evidence that happens. Is there food right in front of me? No. But the thing is, those bodily sensations are activated. And what people need to know is that when you're thinking things that are scary in the future, right? You're thinking of that report that you have to do, and it's very hard for you, and your boss is going to be looking, and you're thinking about it nonstop in the future. How does that make you feel? It makes you feel terrible. That's the definition of anxiety. That is truly anxiety. And the thing is, you know what it actually becomes a problem?
When
you're thinking about it and you have no intentions and you have no possibility of doing something about it. That's what robs you of the present moment.
It's ruminating, right?
Precisely.
Yeah.
And think about that. Harvard said some people are ruminating up to 50% of their lives. And all the research has shown the more time you spend ruminating and you're not paying attention to what you're thinking, the more pain you have, the more depression you have, the more anxiety you have, the more anger issues you have.
So anxiety. So let me stop there. So lack of focus or not being engaged in the present actually affects your anxiety level?
100%. The neuroscience that's really come out in the last 10 years has proven that.
I don't think people know this. This is like information that is not readily available to everyone.
Well, it's new.
You know?
It's new. I've been teaching this. I've been teaching feelings and emotions.
Well, what's interesting, you say it's new, but I feel like it's all throughout the Bible.
Hey, you want to know how Paul says to handle your emotions or to handle your life and how to think? He says, look, because what is revealed to me, right? He pretty much says, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. What does that mean?
Well, it's funny because I was just talking to this to my buddy Vince about this earlier, and we were talking about business and working and how some people, they have all of these attributes that you think they're going to be successful in business, but then they fail miserably. And I think that it all has to do with their ego. It has to do with the fact that they think that because they're going to do things a certain way, that other people are going to react to it, them, and they're going to fall in line, basically. And when they don't know what to do. Right.
You know what the biggest problem about the ego is? Constantly living in the future. Think about that. Constantly. What does Jesus say about the future thoughts?
Well, I know that James says not to think about what you're going to accomplish in the future, not to worry about what you're going to do in a year from now, because
it's pointless.
It's foolishness.
And that's what Jesus says. Think about what he says in Luke 12. He says, don't think about it. Guess who's with you? The Holy Spirit. See, scientists have proven, like, you are the most brightest when you are fully present, when you're fully conscious. And think about it. When you're not present and not fully conscious, when do you make your mistakes? Right?
Yeah.
Right? Can you learn something when you're not paying attention?
Right.
And that's the major thing what Paul's talking about. He says, you have the ability to think about what you think about. You have the ability to believe any thought that's in your head.
So I want to continue this conversation. I want to take another break here, but I want to come back and I want to talk about the connection between being present and anxiety.
And you know what the biggest thing is that? Remember, whatever you think is what you feel.
Right.
And you know what the gnarliest thing about the neuroscience that's been released?
What's that?
If you focus on the present moment, it suppresses that part of your brain that's usually used for mind wandering.
Huh. Interesting. You're so intense when you say that. And I'm like,
that's true.
I'm nervous. All right. So we'll come back. Okay. So I'm going to get real with you for a second and tell you something that happened to me about 3 years ago.
Okay.
I was speaking in Ventura and maybe 3.5 years ago now. It was on Christmas Eve and I was doing the Christmas Eve message. And about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes into the message, maybe 10 minutes, I started to lose focus.
Yeah.
And then I started to lose my train of thought. And then I started to feel panic. And, you know, you got to imagine the situation. I'm on stage. It's dark. And I'm getting nervous even talking about it right now because of the way I felt during that time. It's dark. There's 300, 400 people in this sanctuary.
And I was just losing my train of thought. I couldn't remember what I was going to say. And so I had these two thoughts in my mind. I was in full fight or flight, and I was ready to either run off the stage and say, I'm never doing this again in my whole entire life. I'm done.
Jet out.
Right, which I considered. Or it was like, I got to figure this out and finish this message.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do the first one.
I didn't do it. But what I did was I stopped in the message and I said, you know what? This isn't working out. And people are like, what? And then I stopped and I prayed and I came back and I said, you know what? I don't know that I believe every point that I was trying to make today. I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God, but I don't know that I believed everything I was trying to ingest or that I was trying to give the people, right?
Yeah.
And so, so what I did was I came back and said, this is what I do know. This is what I do believe. And I finished the message and it worked out.
Yeah.
But I felt like I just wasn't being real.
Yeah.
And that caused a huge issue in my mind and really full on caused a panic
attack
out
through your body
in
too.
Front of everyone.
Carried out through your body.
And it was crazy. So the last conversation we had, we ended where we were talking about the correlation or the connection between attention and panic or anxiety.
Yeah.
And so that's what I want to ask you about. What is there a connection and what was happening with me? Like what was going on with me?
Oh yeah. Whatever you think is what you feel. Right? That's what the scientific evidence shows, and it takes place in your body. But the crazy thing is, right, depending on how we feel, we have the ability to think about that too, and that makes us feel worse.
Mm.
And think about it. Your body was going crazy to the extent of, you know, the point of a panic attack, and I've had them before. I promise. Oh, they're terrible.
They're horrible, yeah.
They're terrible. You know, the main thing was, is your body just, you're so out of your mind, you're so much in your head, your body loses control and loses touch with reality.
Mm.
You know what the best thing to do? You know what I do for kids? Hey, it works every time.
Mm.
It's called a grounding technique. I have kids. So I have kids at a high school, man, the little girl. I feel so bad because they have panic attacks. And a lot of it, dude, is some bad stuff because they've been
abused.
Victims. Yeah, they're victims, right? So I had a girl who was in the middle of class shaking on the floor and it was a panic attack. And you know what? And it works every time. It's grounding. All right, honey, stand up. Stand up. Sorry. I get her to sit up. I get her to start breathing, right? Right? That's your natural life source. Mm-hmm. And what people don't know is the big nerve connected from the top of your head all the way throughout your body. It's called the vagus nerve. And when you deep breathe, it automatically activates that nerve and biologically starts slowing down your heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's one technique. And then I start telling her, all right, honey, I got to get out of her head. What do you see? Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you touch? Name three things that what are three things that you can touch? Two things that you can taste. So on and so forth. And the reason why this works.
Present stuff.
Precisely. The reason why this works, the neuroscience has proven that when you activate your presence, you activate your consciousness fully, it suppresses that part of the brain for mind wandering.
Mm.
And that's why it's an instant release. Mm. That's why these kids respond so fast and it gets them out. They're no longer shaking. It's like I see a different person and I can do that within a minute.
Crazy.
It works.
So, yeah. So, this whole idea of being present and having your attention, I do believe it's biblical.
Yeah.
I do believe what's funny is we always talk about science, which you have a PhD, well, not PhD,
I'm
but
a
it's
nerd.
You have a doctorate.
It's one of those things
in psychology. And so you study a lot of science.
Yeah.
And
I study everything. Yeah.
In school, you have to, give all of your resources and it has to be scientifically backed and all this stuff. And so you have all that. But then you look at the Bible, it was written thousands of years ago by individuals, sometimes like Paul's in a prison cell. He doesn't have any resources or anything like that. He just has the Holy Spirit. And it's like those words end up lining up with like, it's like science is catching up to understanding what the Bible has been teaching, all along. And it's a mind blow. And so like when you look back at scriptures like Romans 12, which is to me probably one of the most powerful and interesting chapters in the Bible.
There's a framework for life in there.
It's really amazing. Uh-huh. It really is. And so when Paul says stuff like, present yourself as a living sacrifice and do not be conformed to the world, but instead be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I see a very, when I, especially when I talk to you and I read books about the practical side of these things, I see very practical application there.
100%.
Like renewing your mind is all about simply putting your attention in the right place.
Exactly.
And the right place is
the present moment.
Now.
Well, you can never do anything about the future by thinking about it. The only way to change the future
is by
doing something now.
Right.
It really just makes sense.
It's funny. It's funny because I used to brag that I was a futurist, you know, and I like to think about the future and I like to, you know, think about what it's going to be like. But that's just another form of mind wandering. That's another form of just.
Well, you know what the consequences are, right? You know what started me on all this, right? Mm. Was I thought about the future so much, I think I had a mental breakdown, right? It distanced me so much from my body, distanced me so much from my spirit. I was so busy. Mm. I was lost, man. And I was in so much pain. I was so sad. I was so nervous. But the thing is, you know what brings you back? Talk about the scripture, right? Talk about go back to your situation when you were teaching in the service. Right? What does Paul say? He says, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, right? What does that mean? Offer your body as a living sacrifice. It means offer your ego, offer those bodily urges, offer those thoughts that are not lined up with your values.
Right.
Distance them from yourself and stop believing them so they will lose their powers. Therefore, you will not feel them.
I feel like the simplest way to say it is just offer your attention, right? Like what we're talking about.
Offer
your attention to God.
On God.
Right now. And what's funny, what's crazy, is every single time that I use, I guess, and I didn't even know I was doing it, but I guess I was like doing my own grounding techniques where I would just say, okay, what's important right now and what's real and what's true?
Well, what did you do? What was the thing that you did when you were having the panic attack? What
brought
you back?
I prayed, man. And I,
you
know what I did?
Say?
And what's funny, you talk about the breath thing. I just took a big breath.
It grounds you.
And I'm like, more of God, less of me.
Money.
He's what matters. He's doing something.
And that brought
you
back to what
you believed. My shoulders relaxed.
It's physical.
My mind relaxed. And I'm like, that's what's important right now. God's doing something.
And that's what goes to say how powerful. If there's anything that the takeaway that it can be done today is that for people, when you're thinking about the past or you're thinking about the future, catch yourself. And that moment you catch yourself, you're aware of you're thinking about that stuff, that means you're in the present moment. But the second thing is focus your life on the core values. And the reason why, think about it, man. What is a degree? For me, I thought for so long, if I got more degrees, it would fulfill me. It would complete me. And the fact is once I reached the highest echelons, I was still empty.
Mm.
And I was still broken. Because the fact is, I didn't realize that I was whole and complete from day one.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's, for me, one of the parts of, for me, is a core value of what my belief system is.
Right.
Right? Another core value.
Well, the idea of not having to earn salvation is something that I think most of us don't grasp. Like we're saved.
Right.
From not just from hell or whatever hell might be or whatever you believe in, annihilation or whatever it is you believe in. It's also you're saved from everything that could take you out. Like
I'm
everything
saved
that, like,
from my own past.
You're saved from yourself.
I'm
yeah.
saved from my own thoughts.
Right.
I'm saved from everything.
You know, it's funny too. Just leave another cliffhanger. This puts a whole different spin on what it means to not sin. Right?
Does that mean consciousness or unconsciousness?
Well, it's all about your thoughts. And if you feel what you think, like you're saying,
yeah.
then if you're thinking in a dirty, nasty, horrible
your body feels
way,
it.
You're going to start feeling like that, and it's going to affect everything you do. Your success, it's going to affect your relationships and everything.
So the first time that attention is used in the Bible, at least in the NASB, it's in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 5. And what we have here is we have Moses and Aaron, they're coming to Pharaoh. The Israelites are slaves, and Pharaoh has an agenda. Pharaoh is a tyrant, and Pharaoh wants the stuff that he's building to be built, and he has a workforce of slaves, and they're the Israelites. And he has men with whips, and they're constantly whipping them and saying, make more bricks, make more bricks, make more bricks, work harder, work harder. We need this stuff to be built. Cairo was a builder. He had an agenda. He was trying to do something. Why was he trying to build it? I don't know. But he was trying to build something. And so we have Aaron and Moses and Aaron as a team coming together, and they come to Pharaoh, and that's where this is the first time they come to Pharaoh, and they ask him to let up on the people, let them go for a little bit, right? And so in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and afterwards, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And besides, I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with a pestilence or a sword. But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Why do you draw them away from their work? That's their purpose. That's their work. And then Pharaoh looks at these two guys and he says, get back to your work. Get back to your labors. Verse 5 says, again, Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make brick as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they are making previously, you shall impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it because they are lazy. Therefore they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on the men and let them work at it that they may pay no attention to false words. So the first time that attention is used in the Bible, it's in the form of distraction. Pharaoh has an agenda. Pharaoh wants his stuff to be built. He wants his legacy to be had at any cost, right? And he has a workforce, and he's not going to let up on that workforce. He is a tyrant. He wants men with whips whipping the people and making them focus on making bricks day in and day out, and he has zero concern for them. He has zero concern for their health spiritually. He has zero concern for their health physically. He has zero concern for their relationship with some unknown God, according to him. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I believe that we're in a crucial time in our country. I believe that the spirit of Pharaoh is alive and well in our country. And I believe that there are people in our country that are vying for our attention, that want us to stay focused on building their agenda. And I'm not so sure that it's a one side of the political line is so much better than the other. I think there are people on both sides of the political aisle that are trying to get you distracted from the one thing that you should not be distracted from, and that is worshiping the Lord God Almighty. God wants to free us. We live in the land of freedom, and he wants us to be free to be able to worship. Some of you guys, how many of you guys have just felt a level of stress lately? Obviously, right? It is by design that we are feeling this way. And we, as a church, have to fight against it. And the way that we are going to fight against it is we are going to say no to the spirit of Pharaoh. We're going to say no to those that are trying to distract us to get them to focus on their agenda. And we're going to say yes to worshiping God. You know what wins battles? You want to know what wins battles? This right here wins battles. This is what wins battles. And anything that is keeping us from focusing on that is false. And it is destructive. I don't know about you guys. I don't know where our country's headed. But if a divided house will fall, that's where we're headed. But it is not where the church is headed. God is lifting up his church, but we have to pay attention to what he is doing. We have to pay attention to what he's doing. the very first time that the Hebrew word for attention is used, but it's not used as attention. The word is sha'ah. The word that was translated in Exodus here is the word sha'ah, and for attention. And it means meaning to gaze at, to inspect, to consider, to have respect. The very first time that this is used is actually in Genesis chapter 4, where God has sha'ah for Abel and his offering. God had regard for Abel and his offering, and did not have regard for Cain and his offering. And I always thought that was kind of a harsh story. But the thing is that God, when he looks at us, he doesn't see the outward. He doesn't see what we're saying and doing so much as he sees our hearts. He knows who's his and who isn't his. And when he looked at Cain, he said, this guy's doing it because he thinks he should do it. But when he looked at Abel and his offering, he said, this guy, his heart is wholly and completely mine. He is offering to me out of the abundance of his heart. He's offering himself to me. And when God saw that, God had his attention on Abel. And so God's attention will be on us as we put it on him. And he will lift us up and he will protect us and he will guide us. But we have to, church. We have to. If there's anything that we do, we have to choose to not be victims of the attention deficit spiritual disorder. We've got to pay attention to what God has for us here and right now. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to end with this. Where's God right now? Where is he? He's right here. Right? He's right here. If there's one theme, I was telling a guy backstage, I said, if there's one theme in the Bible, it's funny because there's not really like a formula on how to connect with God. If you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, God deals with people differently. There's no formula. But if there's one theme that God says over and over and over through his word, is he says to his people, I am with you, I am with you, I am with you, I am with you wherever you go. I'm with you. Even if you make a wrong turn, even if you come to the fork of the road and you should make a left, but you decide to go right because you feel like it, right? God will, he'll go down that wrong road with you. To the point that he knows that at some point you're going to turn around and you're going to need him. And our country and the church in the United States has gone down a path that we shouldn't have gone down. I really do believe that. I think that God is using this coronavirus thing and all this stuff to get us back on track. And for those of us that are listening, I'm not saying he caused it. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that God's causing this, but God, what he does throughout history is he will pull his hand back and he'll let nature take its course on us until we get focused again. And that's what he's doing. He's letting us feel the pain a little bit. But he's calling us to remember why we're here. And it's because of him, right? So I'm just going to pray and ask God to show us what he wants to show us and give us the audacity and the boldness to really acknowledge him in everything that we do. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he will make your path straight. So that's what we need to do this morning. Father, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we just ask that you take our hearts. Lord, we ask that you take our minds. Lord, we ask that you would be God to us. Let us acknowledge you as God, as our Father. Lord, it says, when you teach us how to pray, you teach us to say that our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only way that happens is for us to acknowledge you here and now. And so, Father, right now, I pray that each and every one of us would acknowledge you. And that we would believe in you. And that we believe that the path to you is through your Son, Jesus. Lord, that you sent your Son down on this earth to die and to take all of our sins. It's a mystery. I don't know how it works, but it works. And so, Father, I pray that we would have faith like children to believe in that. And if that's you, if you want to believe in that for the first time or the last time, just make a commitment right now and say, I believe that Jesus is the way to me being connected with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the one true God. And if that's you, just say, I believe right now. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each and every person that is choosing you today. And I pray that you'd wake us up in the morning and remind us that we are choosing you that day. Let us live in the moment. Let us be present. Let us know how to love people as they come to us, as you send them to us, Lord. Let us know how to love you on a daily basis as well. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.